everybody, and welcome to Love About Town, the podcast where two brown nerds talk about sex, dating, and relationships in an attempt to be better. As always, you have me, your host, Kenise Mobley, and
your boy, Rohan, everybody. This week, we had a really wonderful conversation with Kate Willett, where we talk about attachment styles, Kate's two cats, and different ways of meeting potential dates that Kate has encountered. So yeah, enjoy this conversation with Kate Willett, and thanks so much for listening. Enjoy. What's up, Kate? How are you?
Yeah,
I'm okay. I'm doing pretty good. Just spent the day doing some chores for the most part.
But your background looks like you're trying to channel something.
That's my vibe, you know? That's who I am.
For the listeners, Rohan is describing a combination of images and is it like small LED lights with different colors?
Yeah, it's like rainbow lights. I think they call them unicorn lights or something.
Dude, it's freaking cool. I have a confession. I've never done this before any podcast, but I was at a barbecue and I smoked a little bit of weed. And so this is doing it. The lighting is doing it for me.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
I'm stoned and I'm like, this is great. Have y'all seen Xanadu, that Olivia Newton-John musical movie?
I haven't seen that one, but I have heard of it.
I've heard of it based on like people calling it a bad film, but you are enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, it's good. And the movie is like, the lighting just reminds me of that movie because it's like very like 80s. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yes, it's the lighting could be considered retro. I don't know. I also think like that is what Marianne Williamson.
Yeah.
Like that is what the inside of her head looks like. Like just like little lights and maybe like clouds. It's kind of like a nebula like that.
I love Marianne. She's a queen.
Dude, she rules. Yeah,
she rules. I like post-election Marianne more than even when she was running because I feel like she's become more conscious of things. And she's like, wait a minute, these billionaires are just running the government. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like live tweeting her realizations about it.
Yeah, like during the campaign, she was like, I'm putting Joe Biden into an orb. And she like introduced me to the orb like that. There was a meme going around because she said that. And it was just like, you know, you put someone in an orb and then you release them. And that was her when she was running for president. Afterwards, she was like, oh my God, it was way worse than I thought it was.
Yeah. I think like Virgil, Texas.
Yeah.
It radicalized her a little bit because he was talking through with her why, for the things that she cares about, capitalism is not great. Virgil, Texas is I don't know if he still is, but he was at least at that time a host of Chapo Trap House, and he did a one-on-one interview with her. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, she's great. But yeah, it's got this big Xanadu vibe. I smoke pot and I feel like so relaxed. And I just ate a piece of like Oreo cheesecake.
Fuck yeah.
Oh my God. I'm like,
it sounds delicious.
Right now.
And I may have to order something similar. Or just like sometimes when I get, and it used to be like when I would get mad, but now it's just been when I get high, I will make myself a chocolate cake. Yes. And I may do that based on you talking about that right now.
You sound like the most ambitious high person of all time.
Yeah.
I'm getting high and I'm making a cake.
Dude, I discovered during this pandemic that there is like a group of people who, there is a type of person who gets high and does things. Like my girlfriend does that. My girlfriend will get high and she'll be like, I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to write like, you know, whatever for my dumpling project. I'm going to do, I'm going to interview this person. I'm going to transcribe notes from this. And I'm just like, what? That the whole point of weed is so you avoid all of these things.
No, the whole point of weed is just to like feel nice, and it like opens a door in my brain that's like the things you've been avoiding, you don't need to avoid them. They're not that bad. Just do them. And it's like, okay, I'll do my chores. I'll set this up. I also took an edible today, but it was like several hours ago. But yeah, I like built some furniture. I'm going to build some more furniture by the end of the night. I'm going to make some social posts. I'm going to schedule them out. I love it.
Oh man, I'm the opposite. I don't even smoke weed anymore or eat it or anything because it gives me so much anxiety. But when I do partake, at least in the past, like the only thing that I want to do is like eat. Like I just go to the bodega,
yeah,
get like extreme quantities of junk food and then just sit there and shove it in my face and just enjoy it so deeply. It tastes amazing. Pizza, ice cream, brownies, cookies, candy. It's delicious.
Speaking my language.
Yeah, but I can't. the last time I got high, it was by accident, and it was
what happened?
Yeah, what happened?
So there was a piece of chocolate in the fridge or in the freezer that, like, I thought one of my previous roommates had left it, and I knew that there was some weed in it, but I, like, ate, like, a tiny, 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 tiny bite, like, minuscule, like almost like a flake of it, because I was like, oh, well, you know, I just really want to microdose, like just a little tiny bit to relax me. But then I got like stone out of my fucking mind. And I was sitting on the couch watching TV with like the guy I was dating. And he turns to me at one point and he's like, is everything okay? And I was like, just confused because it's like, oh, what's going on? But like, you just haven't said anything for like, you know? And I was just like, oh shit, I think I accidentally got really high.
No, yeah. That happens. I love getting high with my girlfriend. That is like a very fun thing to do, because those like awkward pauses or whatever, like at first you're like, is everything okay? And then like, as time goes on, it just becomes like, oh, we're quiet now. This is nice. And like, it's great. Every like three times we get high. It's just like, we're high and then we're on our phones the whole time, because we just need that. Like I'm listening to music. She's like, whatever, texting or like catching up on shit. She's doing productive ass shit. And I'm just like, oh, maybe I should order McDonald's on Uber Eats. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Honestly, I hate McDonald's normally, but McDonald's well high. Dude, so it's the best. Good.
I love McDonald's sober and high.
Yeah.
I'm going to try this. I've never had McDonald's high. I'll
anything greasy, salty is so good.
Okay.
It's the best. Honestly.
I feel like this is like, if given where like Rohan is like currently high right now, I feel like this is like low grade torture. We're like, what if there was like a pan of brownies here? You know?
Yeah. I'm like not gonna lie.
Sex line, yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. That piece of Oreo cheesecake, I debated bringing it next to me while we record, but I was gonna eat it. I shouldn't eat on mic. And then now, like, we're talking about food, and I'm just like, it's in the kitchen. It's right behind me.
Yeah, you have to wait until the end of this podcast.
Yeah, but it weirdly, some people makes them more anxious, and I do get a little bit anxious sometimes on it when like there are people who, like, if there's like an awkward silence, and I'm like, well, everyone hates me. But if there's like not, then I feel a lot less anxious. Like I can't predict when the anxiety will hit me, or some people just know it like right away.
I don't even feel anxious about everyone hating me or anything like that. I don't feel anxious about the cops. Like, there's no like traditional weed anxiety. It's just more that I am confronted with like my own to-do list and just like, holy shit, you haven't done your taxes since whatever. And it's just like, oh my God, I don't want to think about all this right now.
Yeah. But I take it so I don't have to think about those things.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I still haven't really, outside of, I think, with you on Friday or Saturday or whatever day that was, I don't think I've taken it around people. And honestly, the second it started hitting, it was like, yeah, it seems about time to wrap up this dinner.
Yeah. I was wondering when it hit you, because we were just all like chatting, laughing and having a good time. And then I was like, Denise seems very high.
Did I? I didn't know that I seemed high. I was just enjoying the vibe, I guess.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't mean that in a bad way. I was just like, oh, she's high. She's enjoying herself. Like that kind of thing. Just like, oh, okay. Yeah. So you're not a high social person then, you realize, Denise.
I think that's the case, that it's like a me alone or maybe me with one other person thing, but not like a me in a group or at a party.
Yeah, like five or six people.
Yeah, I went to a party sober yesterday.
Holy shit.
Wild. I haven't done that in a long time, but I was able to talk to people, and it was like a pleasant surprise for me. Like, oh, wow, I don't need drugs or alcohol to be like social and friendly. I can just talk to people. What is this? It's wild.
That's awesome. I was sober for a long time. I still am mostly sober, but so I didn't take like drugs or drink for like years and years. I had a little sobriety Rumspringa in the quarantine.
Hell yeah.
I think a lot of people did that.
I mean, it was kind of like, well, if I'm ever going to try drinking again to see if it works for me, then you know, now's the time because I don't have that much to like really fuck up. I'm not going to be like out at shows or whatever. So I can see. And it like really didn't work for me. I have no off switch whatsoever. When they start putting alcohol in it, I'm like, I feel great. You know, what would make you feel better is more, you know, until I'm like passed out. But yeah, but I, that experience of like being at a party and actually having a good time without any substances, like I was there for a long time. I feel like people don't understand that that is like very possible to do if you enjoy the people that you're around. It's just if the people fucking suck, then there's nothing to take the edge off how sucky they are.
Well, I certainly didn't understand it when I was like, I started taking antidepressants in the middle of the pandemic. And I certainly didn't understand that until I started taking those. And I was like, oh, I don't have to be like high. I don't have to be drunk. I don't have to be anything for any of this. I can just exist and it's going to be totally fine. And that's okay. And it definitely would have changed the way that I, when I was dating, like dated, I wouldn't have been so like anxious and like trying to please everybody and like in every possible way on a first date.
Yeah.
I've been like a lot more relaxed and like a lot, like give off a less of a try hard energy.
Yeah.
Which I can give off pretty easily. So yeah.
Hey, yeah, are you doing anything? Are you going on dates and stuff?
Yeah, I am. You know, I'm kind of like at this point where I'm not really working very hard on it. Like I'm not like, I'm not like swiping on the apps a lot, but like if someone kind of comes into the picture, I'll hang out with them. Maybe I'll go on the app like once a week, but I actually have 3 dates this week, which is it's like unprecedented. Actually, nice. I'm not like fully sure that one of them is a date, but I think so.
Did you meet these people on the apps or did you just like know some of them?
One person I met on an app, one person I met out and about in my real life.
Wow.
And another person I met on Twitter. So
whoa, you got the trifecta.
Yeah.
The 3 ways to communicate with men. Out and about, on Twitter, and on the apps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. If you
excited you about these people? Like I feel like you're probably getting offers, you know, you're out here. But what about these particular 3 people made you like, I want to go on a date?
So, okay, one of these is a really funny story, but the other ones are just more normal. So I'll just start with the normal ones.
Okay.
The first guy that I met on an app, you know, we just had stuff in common. He seemed really enthusiastic. And then when I talked to him I usually do like a little Zoom or FaceTime first, just because it's like so much to go meet someone and then have no chemistry.
Yeah.
So we talked on the Zoom and I had actually just quit like a terrible job. And right before I talked to him, maybe half an hour before, and I was like, here's what's going on with me. And I was just like, this literally just happened. I have so many feelings right now. And he was like, I think because I was just like saying what was in my mind. Like we had a really like real connection for that moment.
And we
I don't know. We were just able to talk about it with stuff. And it was an interesting conversation. He's still, I think, in upstate for like another couple weeks of like pandemic. And then he's going to come down here. We're going to get coffee.
Cool.
Yeah. But then the other guy is just a guy that I have thought was very cute for a long time. And I don't know, but I was like, every time I was talking to him, I was like, are we flirting? I don't know. But
Okay.
I guess we were. I don't know. Or he just wants to be friends with me, but I don't think so. I feel like he's flirting with me. And so that's like a normal situation, you know, just flirting with someone. And here is the other one. So the other guy, I actually messaged him about a political issue because he is an organizer and I needed some advice on an organizing situation that I was trying to make happen. We have this whole conversation. It's just like very, you know, it's mostly professional. I walk away from the computer and I see a wink emoji and he's like, back at ya. And I'm like, what? And I look at it and above there's like wink emojis. And I was like, what happened? I didn't do this. And I realized my cat had been walking across the computer.
What?
Yeah. So like my, and it was like a, there was like a couple wink emojis and then just like a bunch of like letters and stuff. So it was like, when I said, oh, this is my cat, it, like, it was believable, but I think that he was like, oh, like, what's going on? Is she trying to make this, you know, more than organizing? So he was like flirting back with me, but I was like, oh, I'm really sorry, you know, this is my cat. But then it kind of like opened up a discussion. We were like, yeah, let's grab a drink or whatever. Yeah. That was weird.
Oh my God. That's like the ultimate cat. Like, cause you have two cats and like, yeah. That's like the cat, dude, that's you.
Your cat is a matchmaker.
Yeah. Your cat is.
She was catfishing.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Yeah, dude. She's like a cat wingman. You're the ultimate cat lady, like the alpha cat lady.
When she sees other cat ladies, she gets to beat them up or
yeah, like, exactly. Your cats are doing your bidding. They're finding you dates.
Yeah, I'm just an unabashed cat lady at this point. Like anyone I date, I'm like, the cats are like a package deal. If things become serious with us, you're gonna live with the cats. That's it's gone a bit far. I'm doing like earnest posts about like just how much I love my cats, you know, just like they're so special to me, they're so cuddly.
Yeah. That rules.
Like that's what I mean. You know what, like if someone can't accept that I love my little pets, wrong person for me, you know.
Yeah. No, that's like the thing too. Like, if they're like, oh, are you allergic to cats? And they're like, yeah, you're going to be like, well, I'm sorry. Nothing you can say will ever let this work out. Yeah.
Dude, can I tell you the worst fucking, the worst cat guy situation? So,
oh, yeah.
After I ended my last relationship, you know, I was like, I was going to take some time, but I wanted to kind of like have a brief period of dating just to like prove to my psyche that someone else would be out there before I took a break. So like right after I parted ways with my ex, went on a date with this guy, and he was a therapist who was like, you know, he was a therapist for men. So he was like kind of talking to men about like how to open up emotionally, like what the impacts of toxic masculinity are. So I had built this whole fantasy in my mind of like, this is the guy for me, you know, because my ex just, you know, one could say that he was a little bit closed off in certain ways, you know, definitely like as is kind of, you know, traditional with heterosexual male conditioning. Like one of the main emotions he felt comfortable with was anger. And so I was like, you know what I'll do? I'll date this like super squishy, touchy feely guy who just, you know, he's just thinking about feminism all the time, you know? So we go out in the park, and it's kind of weird because he shows up and he's wearing a fedora.
I'm out immediately.
This is this year.
Yeah,
and he's not bald.
He is bald. Yeah.
Okay.
No, but no. Even if you're bald, a fedora. No,
yeah, you're right.
If you're bald, a baseball cap, beanie,
baseball cap. Truly, because you don't do the hey, I'm an Irish mobster, whatever. The Kangol hat. You don't want to do that. Want to do a fedora. Now, was it like, did it curl up on the sides, or was it that sort of flat, like, I go to Coachella hat that chicks are wearing now?
I don't remember, to be honest, but I think it was a traditional like men's rights guy style.
No, absolutely not. Yes, that is the hat of the men's rights activist. I don't know if Fedora knows this, but
Yeah, and it was just weird because I'm like, okay, you're like a therapist who like helps men, you know, with their toxic masculinity or whatever. So it's weird that you don't know that this is like a men's rights symbol, but I like put it in. I file it away, you know, like, all right, well, like, if we dated, seriously, this would certainly be something that, like, I could bring up at some point, like, hey, I know you didn't know this, but this does have kind of a meaning that you might not be into, you know?
Yeah.
Men's rights stuff. So, you know, we talk, and then, like, he has done so much fucking research on me in advance. He's like listened to like half my book and has like watched a bunch of my stuff, which I'm like, you know, you find out that you're gonna go on a date with a stand-up, it's like, I think it's okay to watch like a set or whatever, just to make sure that the person doesn't like absolutely suck. But he had like dug into my fucking past. He was like, so you wrote in your book that your first marriage ended for these reasons. How do you feel about that now?
Wow. Holy just, fuck. Like,
too much.
It was so much. It was so much. But, you know, so I went home and I was like thinking to myself, well, I wonder, you know, if I'm just like, I feel like this is too much, but maybe I'm just like a person who feels like anyone who likes me is too much, because I'm always into like the distant, emotionally unavailable guys. So I'm just like, maybe I should just, you know, be outside of my comfort zone here for a second, you know, give this guy a chance. I told him like, hey, I can't really, I'm not up for texting this much right now, like this early, you know, because he was like texting me kind of throughout the day, like very check-in relationship text. And I was like, ooh, I'm not there yet, you know?
Right.
Right. Because he knows you from your work. He's like, he feels like he knows you.
Yeah. And that was just really, but you know, I was like, I'm going to just try to see, you know, if I can communicate my way through this.
Yeah.
But then he told me that he was afraid of cats. And I was like, are you allergic? And he's like, no, I'm afraid. And I was like, are you serious? You know, and I was like, I sent him like pictures of my little cats. And I was like, how do you feel when you see this? He's like, fear, you know? And I was like, and he was like not someone who really joked about shit at all. So I don't think that this was, I don't think he was joking, you know? And I was like, what are you afraid is going to happen? And he's like, I'm afraid that they're going to steal my soul in the night, you know, and they're going to go on my head when I sleep. And
Okay. What?
Yeah. This guy was a fucking therapist, and I'm not saying the therapists are not crazy, but you know, I will say that one would think that if you're a therapist, you at least have a better idea of what's going to come across as crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you can just hide it a little better, you know?
Yeah. Hide your own craziness. The last thing somebody wants to see is your own, maybe because he casts it to hide it for his patients all the time. He like lets it go in his personal life. Like, yeah.
But okay. The idea that a cat is going to steal your soul is just.
Yeah, that's insane.
But yeah, I'm sorry. You heard a rumor from the Middle Ages and you ran with it. That is why. I'm sorry. You had to deal with that. But I recently had an experience where a guy looked me up and listened to my podcast and like had read through my Twitter and all this before we went on a date. And I'm really frustrated with that impulse, which is like, hey, let me speak for me. Like,
the key move, this is what you do, because I would do this, is you do research on them. I would do research and I would like do the Google search and everything, and I just wouldn't bring it up on a date. I would be like, I want to hear, because Google, you can create your own impression of somebody via Google and their stand-up or whatever it is they're doing, but you want to hear how your impression matches up with what they have to say. So you just ask leading questions about things you already know about, so you can be like, oh, they're really proud of this, or actually,
I don't like any of that.
Yeah.
I don't
mine is more psychotic.
Yeah. I was like, I don't, because he like the guy, I found out later that he did that. So it wasn't until like after we'd already like gone through some things that he was like, oh yeah, like I had actually followed you in Twitter a year ago, and like I know like I knew who you were when we went on a date. And I was like, I don't know, that feels weird to me.
Yeah. Okay. It's really weird. I have had that happen. Not my last boyfriend, but the boyfriend before him, this guy, he had like listened to a bunch of my podcasts, and he actually had a bunch of personal details that he knew about me. And like I told him this stuff. Some of it was very serious stuff that like, you know, it wasn't a secret, but it was like, you know, just about very like serious stuff I had been through in my life. And he like acted extremely surprised whenever I told
him. That's so weird.
I think if I had listened to it, I think if I had listened to somebody's podcast, I wouldn't be like, hey, you know, just so you know, I've listened to podcasts, I know all these things about you. But at the same time, you know, it's normal to listen to a podcast. And if you're like, hey, like, I've listened to this podcast, or, you know, I would at least say, if somebody told me something like, yes, I did hear you mention that on your podcast, but
yeah,
it felt like I should wait for you to bring it up, you know, or yeah, something like that, you know?
No, that's literally how, no, that's how you do it. You just say, oh, you know what? I have a secret. I like new because I just Googled you. So like, I wanted you to bring it up, and that's it. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's how you bring it up. That's a nice way to, that's a freaking yeah, nice way to.
I have brought it up in a very different way when I was dating someone. It was like,
how did you bring?
It was like our third or second date. And this was also a comedian, but he on a podcast did talk about like addiction and all this stuff. And it affected a certain thing that he had told me about himself. And so I was like, hey, just checking in. And this was like in person, but I was like, hey, you mentioned, I don't want you to feel weird, but I did listen to your podcast episode of this thing. And you mentioned that like, this was a thing that you used to do. Can we talk about that? Like that felt okay. But are you saying that I could have done that differently?
Yeah, I think that the way that that guy brought it up with you, Kate, where it was just like treated it as if it was like an interview and being like he's writing a piece about you as if
yeah,
like on a different pedestal or like a different like thing that he is on. Like you're not, he's higher, you're higher than him or something. That feels weird. That's like,
that
that's
was not very how you weird. Approach. It was also very stalkerish, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, why have you done like 10 hours of research for a first date?
Totally.
Also, that sounds rude. I don't care. It makes you seem like such a loser. Like,
no. Yeah, exactly.
On so few dates that you have 10 hours to commit to each one. You don't have anything going on in your life. Like,
no, you got to be chill. You got to be chill about what you know, but about revealing what you know and what you don't know.
Well, like, I don't know, because it's like, so I think that potentially I did something that may have contributed to this, but still doesn't justify it. We were texting and, you know, he asked me in text, like, you know, what are you looking for? Which I feel like is a normal question mm-hmm. on Hinge or whatever. Ooh, and I said,
yeah,
I was looking for like a loving and supportive relationship, but, you know, down the line with someone, you know, just in general, I'm looking for that. And, you know, he asked me what my deal breakers were with people. Also, other normal question, like what I would say for like, you know, deal breakers at this point is like no active addictions or untreated mental illness. Like if you're dealing, if you're, you know, if you have something and you're going to the doctor about it, like that's okay with me, you know, like, but I want, if there is an issue that needs care, I want the person to be, you know, taking those steps. But, you know, I also said that one of my deal breakers was like, if someone was extremely emotionally unavailable, then I wouldn't be into that. And so I think he was like maybe trying to show me how emotionally available he was. But it was like, dude, I'm looking for the middle ground.
Yeah.
Not like I don't know. It was such a weird situation. And I actually I was so creeped out by him in a weird way. It hit like a nerve, and I had to take a few weeks off after that. There was something really upsetting about it. Yeah.
It felt like a violation of trust.
It did. I felt violated. Like I had like a stomach ache that I felt, you know, and I don't know. But then now I feel better from that. It was just like, so it was so much, you know?
Yeah.
How are people like reacting on the apps now, Kenise and Kate? You both answer that because they're like now so many more people are vaccinated. I think that like 60% of adults in America have had one dose at least. So like a lot of people are vaccinated.
People are down for everything. I don't know. Like what I've seen is people just being like, yes, date, inside, outside. I don't care. Let's just go on a date.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that might have been I've been on two app dates.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, and then I went on another guy. I also went on a date with another guy who was another. We went to a park, and he told me that he was inspired by Mayor Pete, and that.
Oh, look at that.
I imagine that he hadn't looked you up.
I think that it was like this kind of thing where he's like, "Oh, you're liberal. I'm liberal. We both love politics," and I'm like, "No, no, 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 no." And that was the thing, because when he said he was inspired by Mayor Pete, I was like, this is a fucking red flag. And yeah. like, I mean, like, honestly, you know, not to speak ill of anybody, but I'm not like, I'm not known for being a person that is like averse to dating people who have some kind of issue. <you Yeah. know>? but this was like, this is too far for me. I can't do it.
Yeah, damn. You okay? So one thing that you said earlier is that you're not interested in dating anyone who's emotionally unavailable. One of the first times we met, we actually talked about attachment styles.
Oh, and yeah. So
that emotional unavailability, would you say that that is in line with what? What is that? Which one is that? Is that the detached one?
Avoidant.
Avoidant. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. Okay, can I take like 3 minutes to answer this question? Because it's sort of a complicated
answer. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So just to kind of give people a quick, have you talked about attachment styles before?
No.
Okay,
no,
I'll
Oh yeah, go ahead. Yeah, give a brief rundown, yes.
I'll give you a brief rundown. So there's 4 attachment styles and everyone has 1 primary attachment style. These things can change throughout our lives, but mostly everybody has 1, and unless they actively work to change it or something really, you know, huge happens to them, it stays the same. So the 4 attachment styles, 1, you got like secure people. This is like 50% of the population. And these people, you know, generally from happy families, it's easy for them to give and receive love. They're generally pretty trusting. If they have something on their mind, they feel comfortable communicating it, you know, good boundaries, but at the same time, like, you know, just available, right? And so secure people, I don't know, supposedly it's 50% of these, the population. I don't know where these fucking magical unicorns are.
Yeah.
Because it's certainly not common, eh? Then we have the anxious attachment style. I am this attachment style, or at least actually I might not be anymore, but I was for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, anxious people are people who are always, it sounds like it might be also Rohan, where you're like, oh, I really want to please this person.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah, but just like we carry an underlying belief that, you know, love is something that you have to kind of work for. And, you know, we do put people on pedestals.
Yep.
Like, and it's a kind of thing where, you know, anxious people can be really loving, but also we have a hard time receiving sometimes, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then avoidant people, there's 2 types of avoidant. Those are the last 2. One, the common type of avoidant is the dismissive avoidant. And so these are the lone wolves, right? Like the solo travelers that are like, you know, I take care of myself. I shouldn't have to take care of anybody else because no one really takes care of me. Very independent, very... you know, self-soothe, where it's like within secure people can kind of calm themselves both on their own and also with other people. And anxious people have a tendency to want to calm themselves a little too much through others, not very good at calming alone. Mm-hmm. But avoidant people, especially dismissive avoidant people, can only really soothe alone. They don't know how to do it through other people. And the last type of attachment style is the fearful avoidant. And a fearful avoidant is sometimes called anxious avoidant and has elements of both, like can be anxious or avoidant. You know, just kind of all the traits that are described of anxious and avoidant, fearful avoidant, typically will, you know, have those in various degrees that kind of switch around depending on the situation. So I am at least a formerly anxious attached person. I might be secure at this point because I've worked on it a lot, but anxious people and avoidant people are often really attracted to each other. Like if anyone's listening to this and they're like, I've been in a really bad relationship where we just couldn't stop fighting, what was very likely going on if you were on the roller coaster is that one of you was anxious and one of you was avoidant and got into this thing called the anxious avoidant trap, where one person wants more intimacy and the other person does not want as much intimacy, and there's just constant polarized emotional needs of one person pursuing and the other person distancing. So in terms of emotional unavailability, the original question, I think that avoidant people are the most visibly unavailable, but anxious people are also unavailable because it's like we just do something that's a little different. Like we're tricky about it because it's like being like getting attached to someone who can't give you what you need emotionally is just, it's also like a way of not getting what you need emotionally and of kind of keeping yourself safe. It's just, it's a sly way, like true availability. You got to be comfortable with like the giving and receiving of love, but anxious people often have a very, very, very hard time.
You smother people with how much you want to know about them. And then you smother them so much. And then when someone asks you a question about it, you're just like, that was fine. And then you don't like, give that much detail to it. I actually, Leah and I have talked about this. We both fall in the anxious avoidant category.
You're both like both anxious and avoidant?
Yeah, we're both anxious avoidant people. And because I'm very avoidant with telling people how I actually feel about things. So I will a way where it's like, if something morally bothers me, I will tell someone. But if someone is like, do you want to eat pizza or do you want to eat like burgers? And I secretly want pizza, and I'll just be like, oh, burgers. Cause that's like what you want. They'll be like, yeah, okay. And then I'll get like kind of mad and I won't bring it up. Like, I won't say that I actually want pizza. Right. And so like, I'm like that. So we both have to check in with each other constantly to be like, is this what you really want? Sure, this is what you want. And then
that sounds like really great communication.
Yeah, no, it is. But we both like kind of, and it's nice though, because like I was used to date somebody who was probably just like more anxious and I was avoidant, and they were very good at confrontation and very good at telling the people what they wanted. And I wasn't, and I was always asking, are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? This and that, blah, 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 blah. And so like, that's like being emotionally unavailable too. That's being very selfish. That's being very like, you know, not a good partner, frankly. And so like, yeah, so that doesn't, those two don't work. But with us, we know, and we kind of joke about it. So I think it's like more of a, it's nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But you're totally right, Kate. Like it can just like lead to this like a lot of buildup of resentment that never gets discussed, and it just manifests itself in other ways in the relationship, or, you know, you're just like not emotionally there, or you're kind of mean in different ways. And yeah,
it's just hard because it's like anxious and avoidant people. I mean, it can work, especially if both people are really, you know, communicating well. But, you know, it's like I remember in my last relationship, it was like, hey, like I'd really like to check in more with texts throughout the day. And he's like, actually, I'd really like for us to be fucking other people. And it was just like, wow. Whatever need we had, it was so opposite.
Right. Jeez Louise.
Yeah. Own other people. Yeah. I just want a text.
Man, I think I'm anxious avoidant, just based on like my past relationships where like if a guy is like really into me, I become avoidant. And if a guy isn't really into me, I become like the other one. So
what's your primary one, would you say? Like what type?
Probably avoidant, just because I'm like, no, this isn't good.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna walk away.
Fearful avoidant is actually a really not common attachment style. My guess is, without knowing much, I would say like anybody of any attachment style can have like, it depends on the relationship, right? Like all relationships bring out different stuff. I would guess that your primary attachment style is dismissive avoidant. And like, if you're with someone more avoidant than you, you can become anxious. But but fearful avoidant is like an attachment style that usually people don't have it unless they have been through a lot of trauma in their lives. They can, but it's an attachment style that generally is a result of like intense trauma. But anybody who is insecurely attached can explore the full range of insecurely attached options. And even somebody who is securely attached, let's say they start out that way, like if a securely attached person is in a relationship with someone who is, you know, lying to them, cheating on them, like that person can become anxious. And if they're with somebody that's like smothering them all the time and just like they can become avoidant. But the different thing about a securely attached person is like, you know, if they're not too deep into the relationship, like, and it's the other person is displaying a lot of unhealthy behavior, they'll probably move on from it, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if people like think that they're insecure relationship, or they think that they're secure because they think what is what is actually dysfunctional is normal. And like,
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And they like wouldn't perceive this as a dysfunction. Like, oh, all relationships go through this. Or like, yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Like what I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but like, yeah. So they identify as secure, but they're actually like avoidant, or they're actually anxious, or they're actually fearful or whatever.
Yeah. I think a lot of avoidant people who don't know about attachment style, like a lot of avoidant people, if you describe this to them, they would be like, oh, actually I'm very secure, but I've dated nonstop codependent people. Because their perception of what is, you know, normal is that people do not meet each other's needs and everyone's responsible for their own needs, when, you know, usually, like in a healthy relationship, there's a degree of interdependence where people are meeting their own needs and also meeting some of their partner's needs.
Yeah, I'm like, I very much need to know like constantly that people aren't mad at me. And so, but that got better when I started taking antidepressants. But it is like a thing where like, my girlfriend told me that her friend and her partner do a state of the relationship every month, where like once a month they're like, okay, well, how are we doing? Like, how is there anything that's bothering you? You know, blah, blah, blah. Like, they talk through their issues, which I think is like a very healthy way of going about it, especially.
Oh, yeah. I think so too. I've, you know, I usually try to check in about things, like once a week when I'm in a relationship. I think it's good to have an open communication. It's also good to like have fun. But yeah, I don't know. Cause it's like, I think I'm at the end of my willingness to date people who are insecurely attached and not working on it.
Yeah.
Insecurely attached and working on it. Come on over here. Let's figure it out together. You know? Yeah. But if you're like, if somebody is like, I have to like sell them like on the kind of basics of like, hey, it's necessary to talk about our feelings in order to feel a close connection with each other. You know, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, I think it's just like, yeah, how can you, I don't know. I feel the same way, Kate, where it's just like, how can you not talk about this? That's kind of what I want to talk about a lot of the time. It's like, are you doing okay? Like, am I doing right by you? Like, are you doing right by me? Like that kind of stuff. Like that's so important.
Yeah.
And outside of that, like, I think I'm a victim of like, what is it? The self-improvement industrial complex. Like the idea of just being like, I have a problem and I'll just let that problem keep going. Never work on it. That's like insane to me.
Or like, I think the self-improvement industrial complex is like this idea that you can solve every problem that like afflicts you. And there's like there's an app for that, or there's an exercise for that, or there's a product for that, right? That's the industrial complex, when really it takes a lot more work than that. Two, some of those like traumatizations are institutionally based that like you don't have that much control over anyway. And it like takes a lot more than you like reading a book to figure it out. And like those are like the big things. So like I don't know if you suffer from that. I just think that you like, I don't know. I just think that people let you down, which is not your fault. Sorry. Yeah. That's like not your fault.
It's like the self-improvement industrial complex. It's, you know, it is fucked up that we're in this situation where we're like being told that we have to like constantly work on ourselves.
Yeah.
Especially women.
But there is an upside to it in a way, because it's like, you know, attachment issues and intimacy issues in particular can be so, so painful that like, you know, I mean, like my parents married for 40 years, and I mean, like I saw, you know, what I have, the kind of arguing that I've had in, you know, maybe 6 months relationships, like I cannot imagine extending that for like the amount of
years.
Yeah, my parents don't argue anymore, really, because what happened is my mom moved to a different house. My dad's very avoidant and my mom's very anxious. Mm-hmm. And now they're like getting along great. They're like BFF. They love hanging out together.
Yeah.
And I think it is this kind of thing where now my dad's need for space is met, so he can be like really warm and excited to see my mom when he sees her. Right. But when they were like living together, my dad was kind of constantly like overwhelmed. I need more space. So they did like resolve their attachment issue, but probably without ever being conscious of it, you know. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. A friend of mine talked about that. He's like, yeah, my parents, and he's Iranian and his parents live in Iran, but he's like, yeah, my parents, they made sure they made enough money to have two apartments, one for him and one for her. And at the end of the night, she'd be like, I'm going to my apartment.
Yeah, that's like, so funny.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah, that rocks. Honestly, no, that's a huge issue that I really feel in my relationship. Like when we need alone time, because I want the other person to like me, I don't know when to articulate that I need my alone time. And now she can tell when I do. And she's like, do you need alone time? And I'm like, no. And then she's like, do you need alone time? And I have to be like, yes. Okay.
It's like being hangry when it goes too long.
Totally. But also that's like something I have to work on, where I have to be like more assertive. Cause I don't want her to be like always trying to figure out what I'm feeling. That's not a good thing to do. So it's like, that's a big thing for us, like alone time and figuring out our space. And like we spent 3 weeks together and we both were like, that's too long. But then we spent 2 weeks apart and we were also like, okay, well, that's too long now. We have to figure out a good medium between those two. So,
yeah, to me, it just like sounds so good that you're able to like have, you know, a discussion about like calibrating it and then ultimately find places that like do feel good to both of you, right? Because it's like the thing that's fucked up is when, you know, one, you can't have talks about calibration, or two, when even if you can talk about it, there's literally no amount that feels good to both people because the needs are too different. That's really hard.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're totally right. We're both very fortunate. We're both also in therapy, and like, you know, we've been working on this for like years. So it's not like this came naturally, I guess. I think it came more out of like just time. And I'm now on medication, so that helps me a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's like a game. For me, at least, it was like a game changer. Some people it's different than others, but yeah, I'm a lot less anxious. I can like, don't need to be like drinking or like eating when I feel alone. I don't need to like do any of that stuff. So yeah, it's been very healthy.
So in addition to attachment styles, what are the other, I guess, because there's like so many ways people categorize themselves. So there's like introvert, extrovert, there's some people really like astrology, but what are the other things that you found that you need someone to be compatible with you in order for the relationship to work?
I'm not an astrology person whatsoever. I am an extrovert, but I don't need someone else to be. I'm actually pretty attracted to introverts. There's something about it that feels very magical to me. Like, how do you do that? You know? I don't know. I mean, I definitely know that I need someone who is smart. I know that I need someone who is funny. And I know that I need someone who is kind. And, you know, self-aware/ emotionally intelligent. Mm-hmm. But I think beyond those things, I'm pretty open. Like, it's like not, like that stuff would be kind of like, you know, the must-haves, but beyond that, like, I'd be open to just, you know, seeing what the connection was, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. Kenise, what do you need? What is your thing? Because I feel like I've talked about this many times on the pod.
You have guessed at, like, what my list is, but it's not, I don't think it's as specific as you think it is.
Yeah.
All those things hold true. I want the
weird face. That's the number. That's the only deal.
Weird face. That's gotta important. Have a weird face. A face that's too normal is suspicious to me. I need it to just be like slightly off.
Yeah.
Weird face, nice, funny. There are some things that like, I think some people would say that it's either shallow or materialistic, but like, I do need them to have the money to go to the movies. Like, I do need them to like be able to take care of themselves in a certain way. Right. So I would never want to say, oh, he has to make this much money, because that seems crazy. But like, I love going to the movies. And if this person can't afford going to the movies, I'm not going to pay for them to go to the movies all the time. That would, I think, be a way on the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not like a lot. That's not like you're saying that you need to date a millionaire.
Yeah.
Like that's
just
like pretty.
Like a hundredaire. Just.
Yeah. No.
You need a, you also, if I can try and diagnose, not diagnose, Jesus.
You try to diagnose me constantly.
I'm going to try. If I can guess again, mm-hmm. I would also say that you like a go-getter. You like somebody who has his own shit and also is like, this is what my shit is. This is what your shit is. I'm happy to engage in your shit, but ultimately mine comes before yours. And like, I'm happy with, you know, the way that my life is going, and I want you to be part of it. And I want you to make me part of your life. But they have to have like more of a singular, maybe that second part, I don't know if that's what you want, but the first part definitely. And you want someone with a singular vision and who like,
not a singular vision, but yeah, someone who's like, I think the a thing that I find really unattractive, and Kate, let me know if you've experienced this on dates too, where their interesting thing about themselves is that they thought about doing something interesting. Like, not that they actually did something interesting.
That's so funny.
Like, guys were like, yeah, I think I'd want to brew beer, but they've never tried to do it. Or like, guys were like, I love comedy, so cool. Yeah, I thought about being a comedian. It's like, well, did you like go to open mics? Did you actually like expose yourself in order to see if this thing that you say that you like is actually for you? And no, and that turns me off.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, I think that like there was this guy, the same guy that was like secretly listening to my podcast. His whole thing was that he like loved movies, and he like, that's fine. I also really like movies, but you know, he was watching like maybe 14 movies a week, maybe like two per day. Mm-hmm. It's so many movies, and then, you know, also a lot of TV. And it was like, the whole thing was just like consume, consume, consume. And it's like, I have a drive to consume and take in things, but I also have a drive to create things. And there was something, I think I need to be with someone who like also has a drive to make or do something, you know,
besides
like consume.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. That's like a good, I think that like the word is independent, and like independent in a way that feels productive and not like, I'm a big fan of, you know, Doctor Who or something. Like
that. Yeah. That is that a reference to a specific person that I dated?
No.
Because he was like overly into Doctor Who.
That's no, so weird.
I literally brought it up because I know they have like a big fan base, but is there someone you were thinking of? I don't know.
The last person I called my boyfriend was like,
oh, really?
Doctor Who.
And really? Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that is one of the things that like was really frustrating to me, that he like talked about how much he liked like creative pursuits, but it's like, wait, what are you actually doing though?
Yeah, so that sucks.
Yeah. Oh, you got to have, if your taste is bad, I can't date you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it's like weird though, because it's like so the things that I was mentioning, like kind, smart, funny, it's just that those are the things that I absolutely will not compromise on.
Yeah.
Because the thing is like, I can say like, oh, there's all this stuff. I mean, like if I expand that to like the list of things that like, you know, I would be likely to be very interested in somebody, it would be a lot longer, but
yeah.
Like, there's always kind of, every time I really like somebody, you know, it's like this thing where like, oh, wow, like, I actually couldn't have anticipated that I would feel this way about mm-hmm. this person. Even the ones that are really good and nice, I would be like, wow, you know, this person always seemed really sweet to me, but I never anticipate that I would think that they were the most special person ever, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know?
I understand that completely. Yeah, they gotta have good, from like, you know, you don't have to have the same taste as me, but you gotta have good taste, and you gotta like, I'm sorry, politically we have to be like at least pretty close. You don't have to be the exact same as me, but you gotta be like, you gotta understand where I'm coming from. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing.
I don't understand why people put moderate on Hinge. I just
Exactly.
When I see that, I'm like, well, I'm gonna like, I think you're doing this because you're trying to appeal to the most people or something.
Yeah,
but
no.
That means that like you'd be comfortable dating like someone who straight up doesn't think that I have rights. So
Oh my God. It's like, I don't know. I like dating leftists, but then also like, so, I mean, I probably will want to date a leftist, but sometimes people are just like, with any kind of political thing that's still like a little fringy, sometimes you get like super weirdos, but yeah,
right.
The political stuff is big.
Like, yeah. I'm not saying it's like your identity, but like when I'm like angry about something, I hope that you're angry about the same thing. Right. You know, it doesn't have to be in the same way that I'm angry, but you're just upset and like you understand where my anger is coming from, or you're at least willing to listen to like something, you know, that might not necessarily fit within your worldview.
100%.
Yeah,
I totally agree. The therapist guy, You know what he was also doing? He was leading anti-racism corporate workshops. It looked bad, and I could tell that his heart was like in a good place, but I'm like, he's like Robin DiAngelo. Like, obviously, like, I fucking hate it when people are racist, but like the way that he was trying to not be was just so like,
right, it's cringy.
It's so cringy. Like, he's like teaching people, you know, like, you know, go start a conversation about race with your coworkers. And it's like,
no,
absolutely don't do that.
Don't fucking do that. There's nothing worse than you're just like, hey, I'm a brown person and I'm just minding my own business. And a bunch of people are like, okay, we've got, what do you think about these things? And I'm
like, I'm between, we every day, every Wednesday between 12 and 1 are Black Lives Matter hours. But we talk to all of our Black employees and see how they're doing.
I would only do that if they paid me extra. You have to pay me extra if you want me to also give.
You actually have to work 2 extra hours to make up for the 1 lost hour to Black Lives Matter hour. So
Do not start a conversation. Like, you know, I'm kind of on the side of do not even start a conversation with your coworkers at all. No one wants to talk to their fucking coworkers unless they're really
I'm team K. Let's get rid of conversation. Let's get rid of chit chat at work. Let's get rid of idle conversations. Yeah. Let's get rid of anything that doesn't have to do with work. So
I love it. Like, I have corporate experience where I feel that is the case, absolutely. But now I work for a nonprofit and I'm like friends with my boss.
No, I totally get that. Yeah.
But like, yes, before, if someone was like, hey, what do you think about political issue? I'd be like, I am HR and I'm calling HR. Don't talk to me about this.
Do not make me call myself.
Yes.
I just quit like a corporate environment. And it's just like, actually some of my coworkers were really nice, but whatever. I'm going to just shit talk this because.
Yeah, do it.
Like,
none of them listen, I can assure you.
Every time I didn't get a raise for 4 years. That's why I quit.
Right. And every that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, I kept asking, and it was like, the company is doing bad, company's doing bad. And then finally this year, it's like, the business has like tripled, and it's very obvious. And so I was like, okay, when am I getting paid more? And it was like, the people at my work pretend that that's sort of just like, wow, I thought you were happy here. Like, what's going, you know, and I'm like trying to pretend that it's some sort of like weird thing emotionally to ask for. I'm like, this is a job. We're not hanging out. You know?
And 4 years is a significant period of time in which that is expected because you've developed 4 years of experience, which means you are much more valuable as an employee than the person who just walked in.
You know how this company works.
Yeah.
No, totally.
So that's ridiculous.
Yeah. But they, whatever. They said no, so they can. They've never given anyone a raise, any of my coworkers ever.
Offline, I am gonna know what I'm gonna ask what the name of this company is because fuck them.
Yeah, no, I will tell you. I might even post about it. I don't know. I'm just I'm going rogue. You know.
Know you. That mean congratulations. That sounds like you fucking stood your ground and you're like.
I did well because and this is related to dating in a way because you know like. I left a relationship a few months ago where, you know, for various reasons, I just didn't think that, I mean, it just wasn't the right, let's just say it wasn't the right situation with me. Yeah. Largely because, I mean, for many reasons, but part of it was because, like, the man I was dating, like, does not believe in monogamy, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, well, I do. I want that, you know? And, like, so I felt so much better after I said that I was just like, what else could I quit? Like, is there any other situation in my life that I don't feel valued in? And it was like, oh, work. Like, I feel really bad here. And I don't know. I mean, I definitely have to figure out what's next. And I am really hoping that it, you know, during the pandemic, it was tough, but I'm hoping that now that the pandemic is over, that, you know, maybe like, not over, but coming to its end, that maybe it can, you know, just be comedy stuff. But
it sounds like you're in like the rom-com seat. Like, you are not exactly, like, I don't think you're like a rom-com person, but truly, like, getting rid of a guy, getting rid of a job, it seems like you're about to do like the big thing. There's like a montage where you like get ready, where you like change your life. I'm excited for you.
I'm trying.
Yeah, you're gonna be walking down Fifth Avenue and then you're just gonna bump into a guy that's wearing an I'm emotionally available shirt and I'm in a secure relationship and I'm here to listen to you. That's what the shirt's gonna say. It's gonna say all those things on it.
Well, my cats are like, you know, they can tell what sort of vibe I'm on right now. Yeah. So I'm like, look, you know, I've gotten rid of two things. You know, I'm just saying, now is not a good time for you to be toxic. Okay? So,
what is toxic for a cat?
Toxic cats.
Well, I think my cats have displayed some toxic behavior sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing. The cats knock glasses off, you know, off things, which is not, that's not toxic. That's a cat thing. And sometimes they look right at me and they make eye contact and they're not even walking by it, but they just go to it and they like push it off because they think it's like so funny that I'm like, oh no, you know, like I have to clean up all the glass. I would say that's toxic behavior from
them.
Yeah,
that's uh-huh. Yeah. Honestly, this sounds like a great New Yorker cartoon series, like Toxic Cats. And it's just like relating those things to like what toxic men do. I want to see this. If you haven't written this, I'm just saying this is a good, I think this could be good.
I think Little Pearl is a narcissist. And I would say that, I would say that little Albert is more borderline, very intense separation anxiety from him. You know, you close the door for 1 minute. He's like,
yeah. That seems manipulative. Yeah. All right. Well, we are coming up on the hour. And as we end every episode of Love About Town, we end with final thoughts. So things you've considered, things you want to reiterate to the listeners, things you just want us to know about you.
Ooh. Yeah, I have a podcast called Reply Guys, which is a it's a feminist comedy political podcast. Thank you. I also just wrote a book.
Congrats.
It has a lot of stuff about dating in it. It's called Dirtbag Anthropology, and it's a memoir about masculinity on Audible. But there's a lot of stuff about sex and dating in there. And check it out.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Rohan, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, be as communicative as you can to somebody when you're dating them. And also, like, if you were worried about dating, if you're like, I don't know if that's the right thing for me to do, that's great. But if you're avoiding it because for whatever reason, I don't know, jump back into dating. I want everyone to be jumping into dating. I want, if you feel comfortable, obviously, like, I don't want to, like, if you had some traumatic experience, then don't do it. But if you're just like, I'm afraid to download the app, then just download the app and then see what happens. Like, you don't have to do anything, but at least you're getting started. It's baby step.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's my thoughts. I don't know why that's a final thought today, but it is.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah.
My final thought is, it's good to hear that attachment styles can change, because I think that I am definitely attempting to move towards someone who can have secure attachments instead of the constant push pull of avoidant and insecure attachment styles. Yeah.
Oh, it definitely can change. And also, if you, let's say the next person you get with is already securely attached, then your relationship can be like a secure relationship even before your attachment style has changed.
Okay.
That makes sense. Because if you're with someone anxious and they're like, hey, Kenise, where are you? Like, you'll be like way more avoidant. But if a secure person is like, just like, you know, you're chilling out, you're like, I need some space. And then they're like, okay. Then you'll be like, oh, like your subconscious will know, I literally can get space whenever I want it, so I don't have to fight for it in the same way, you know?
Hell yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, what are your socials? Where can people find you on the internet?
I am on Twitter at Kate Willett. I got two T's in my last name, and then I'm on Instagram at kate.willett. I'm on TikTok, but I don't even know my handle because I just started. I'm so overwhelmed. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Rohan Paddy Cool Guy on Instagram. I am Rohan Cool Guy on Twitter. And I don't know, listen to this podcast and give us 5 stars and leave us a nice review and don't say anything mean. And if you do want to say something mean, leave us a 5-star review and say something nice anyway. Yeah, just do it.
Nice. You can find me at Kenise Mobley on all the platforms. Please watch my Instagram live show, Make Yourself Cry, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on Instagram Live. And The Lab, it's a very experimental Black comedy show, is back 3rd Friday of every month. Check it out on Assemble Co. This has been Love About Town. Thanks so much for listening.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kate.